Hello, and welcome to the Architects of Destination Advocacy podcast from Destinations International, the trade association representing destination organizations around the globe, brought to you exclusively by Relic Agency as part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network. I'm your host, Andreas Weisenborn, and welcome you for checking out our podcast. For each episode, we want to tell the story of both usual and unusual suspects in our sector's history and the key advocacy moments for them. These stories are meant to tell the tale in full, covering many of our strategic issues and opportunities our sector faces, whether it be community alignment, destination stewardship, resilience, or actions based on values. We hope you listen in and learn from your peers. With that, let's get to the show. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. I'm so glad you get to join us on the podcast episode today. But before we get on to our guest, I want to give a very brief thank you to everyone who joined us in Toronto for our most recent 2022 annual convention. You heard on our most recent podcast where we talked about the Great Foundation Challenge with Jack Johnson, our Chief Advocacy Officer. We talked at length of what we plan to uncover and discover at our annual convention with our Foundation Challenge regarding a destination promotion community indicator, as well as looking into violent crime and safety issues regarding destination organizations. Recommend everyone take a listen to that podcast because that relates to our next event. So the next event on the docket is going to be our upcoming Advocacy Summit in Bloomington, Minnesota at the end of October. Everything we discussed on the most recent podcast and more, we are bringing to that summit. It is one of our favorites of the year. So in addition to that, you'll hear us talking about cannabis, our tourism lexicon returning, stakeholder engagement galore. So I highly recommend when registration is currently open. So if you get a chance, please take a look at that registration and the agenda at hand, and we'd love to see you there. With that, let's actually get on to the show. So as part of Destinations International's eight core issues and our opportunities for 2021 for our sector, I'm pleased for today's guest to talk about both sustainabilities and the values of the business events community to help bring to the world stage. Matthias and the German Convention Bureau have been the leading with sustainable development goals for both his organization and for Deutschland for an extended period of time. The GCB has illustrated what the long view of sustainability means for a convention and visitors bureau, and are excited for today's discussion on how they got started and how one can thrive. Matthias Schulze, willkommen to the show. Matthias, welcome.
Andreas, danke schön. Thank you very much for having me. It's a great pleasure, and I'm so glad to be part of today's podcast.
Absolutely. Thank you. Let's give the listeners just a little bit of a starting point. So I mentioned you are the managing director of the German Conventions Bureau, but let's just back up briefly. I wanted to hear your story. How did you get into the hospitality community?
Well, I started with a degree, as so many, in business administration within the hospitality industry. I worked with Hilton International, and I started my career in the convention business with becoming the managing director of the former plenary hall of the German Parliament, which became, after the reunification, an international conference center for the United Nations. And since 2010, I'm now with the German Convention Bureau, which is really a very great thing.
Oh, wonderful. And just for our audience, when you to clarify reunification, you're talking about East and West Germany.
The reunification of Germany, exactly.
Exactly. So just for our guests to hear that. So what really attracted me, I've been wanting to give a shout out to our European engagement individual, Jane Cunningham. I had asked the question saying, I'm really wanting to look at countries and individuals who are really taking sustainability and really who have been at it for quite an extended period of time. And she said, you need to connect yourself with Matthias and started following your work and the work of the GCB, and really knew it was like, I have to talk to this guy because from the onset, I was really impressed just by how interwoven sustainability was with all of your efforts of the GCB, particularly the connection between how sustainability and business events can coincide. So I want to ask you a little bit sort of the origin point. What, when, and how did you start seeing sustainability or the need to shift to sustainability as a core goal of the GCB?
Yeah, more than a decade ago, we started an extensive market research in order to better understand which megatrends will impact our industries. And back in the beginning of the 2011, I think it was, we published this megatrend analysis, and it came up that especially globalization, sustainable development, mobility, and digitization will drive and impact our industry over the next decades. And therefore, we decided that sustainability needs to be part of the DNA of the German Convention Bureau. It needs to be part of everything we do. And we looked for a very holistic approach. And therefore, we decided back in 2012 during our general annual assembly that we will change our bylaws. And as of 2012, it is written in the preamble of our statutes and of our bylaws that sustainability is not an option anymore. And it is very specifically says that the German Convention Bureau sees itself in particular degree of promoting sustainable development in Germany with the pillars of science, research, committed to the three pillars, ecology, economy, and society. This is how we started.
So let's unpack a little bit of that. So when you mentioned the initial mega trends report, when you saw sustainability as one of the top trends, was that an aha moment? Did that come out of surprise to you?
No, not really, because we did many studies before in order to better understand what will impact our industry in the future. And I personally had an experience back in 2009 when I used to work with the former plenary hall of the German Parliament. And I had the opportunity and the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to meet the former General Secretary of the United Nations, Ban Ki-moon, when he arrived for one of the United Nations conferences. And I had the opportunity to talk a few minutes with him. And of course, I was a little bit nervous as a young man talking with such a very important person. And I just asked him, what do you expect from today's conference? And he just said to me, young man, these days, I just was a young man, I still was a young man. He said, young man, this conference will make the world a better place. And I immediately understood this conference was about, of course, content. It was about a vision. It was about an objective that these people who came together from all around the world, they wanted to solve very, very big problems for us living on this wonderful planet. And therefore, I think business events itself helping to solve problems in these days, and especially sustainable development, is one of the most important challenges we are facing in these days and in these times. And that was my personal aha moment when I started to think about sustainable development. And it was backed by these megatrend researches and megatrend reports and all the studies and researches we conducted over the last decades.
Since you mentioned the adoption to your bylaws, prior to that and the megatrend report, did you feel sustainability was already part of in issues you were doing before that?
I mean, sustainability is something which is really linked with Germany, because since many decades in Germany, we are already talking about sustainability and the importance of sustainability. We're trying to create new solutions. We are trying to create new technologies, helping to live a more sustainable life. Since many years, we try to produce more sustainable when it comes to creating new products and services. And so it is more or less in the common sense of what we discuss in Germany. But since, let's say, more than 10 years, it is a very concrete topic which we are discussing within the business events industry, because we really understood that we have to create our offer more sustainable.
Absolutely. I want to emphasize to listeners, I understand how important it is, the aspect of adopting into your bylaws as part of your greater efforts and community. Did you have any detractors or any second guesses from your stakeholders or participants who said, you know, to challenge you on it, or was it universally adopted right away?
No, we started the conversation with all our stakeholders and the entire ecosystem of business events during a sustainable conference, which we started back in 2009. That was the very first time that we brought together stakeholders from the business events industry in Germany to discuss green meetings at that time, or more ecological meetings. We discussed sustainable solutions during that meeting. We also discussed what the challenges are we are facing in getting and becoming more sustainable. We talked about costs. We talked about education. What do we need in order to create better and more sustainable products and services? We understood that, of course, we need to train and to educate our people, our staff, and all those who are involved within the business events industry to create a more sustainable portfolio. And this is how we started. And this conference took place every 2 years since then. And the next one will take place beginning of 2003 in the city of Osnabrück in the northern part of Germany. So this is a process which started more than 10 years ago, and we really meet on a regular basis every 2 years during that huge conference with a few hundred people attending. And during the conferences and after the conferences, before the next conference, we run digital programs, we run education sessions, we create white papers, and we start discussions and conversations with all stakeholders involved in order to create standards, for example, and share best practices.
Gotcha. I want to ask a little bit now about the GCB, since you mentioned, you know, this is over a decade ago. I think it's always interesting for the desterizations to hear how others got started. So you did the research, you saw the moment, and you adopted it as part of your DNA. What sort of was the next steps or the first kilometer of work for the GCB to adopt this as goals or structure for the next decade from then?
Yeah, I mean, as you just said, it's important to start with evidence-based information. So you need something like a megatrend analysis, a report, or a study, or research. Then we need to build a community. So that was the conference, which helped us to build a community, to grow a community, to bring people together with the same mindset. And the third step was to learn from other industries, to see what others are doing already and trying to transfer or to translate their experiences and their success stories to our industry. And the fourth step, I think, is and still is and is most important to create a kind of common understanding, standards, so that you can really compare products and services and that you have a very transparent landscape which helps you to compare, to benchmark, and to learn from others. And last but not least, I think that's always important, communicate failures, communicate success stories, but never stop communicating in order to learn from each other.
Did you have some initial goals that you thought, okay, GCB can do this very easily? I'm just wanted to hear from your perspective back then. What do you just think, okay, this is the easiest, these are the easiest goals we can hit right away, the quick wins per se?
Oh, the quickest win, of course, was to set up a conference and invite people who are interested in that topic. That's a quick win. We can just, you know, we needed a location. And in these days, sometimes we do it even online, of course. We need a few speakers, a few best practices, and then communication. And immediately we had a few hundred people, really, who wanted to get more information about that topic. So that was more or less for us the quick win in the very beginning to build a community. And then, of course, very quickly, you need to deliver, because only meeting, talking, that's not enough. And the next step was that we created a codex, a sustainability codex for the German-speaking business events sector. And that sustainability codex was built on the principles of the United Nations Global Compact. So we took an already existing international codex, which helped us to get, you know, the key principles to be involved. And then we translated more or less the United Nations Compact topics to the business events industry in Germany. And then we asked people to sign a pledge to follow all the instructions and guidelines which we created in a very dialogue-oriented process. That was nothing which happened in my office with a few mm-hmm. people or through some, you know, consultants. That was a dialogue-oriented public process where we invited all those who were interested from the business events sector to be part of the development of this sustainability codex.
So we're big fans of pledges on the show. One of our previous guests from Destination Door County, we talked extensively about the Care for Door County pledge. Talk a little bit about the pledge that you all implemented. Who of the business event sector did you intend for to sign the pledge for this?
It's all those who play a role within the business events sector. That means suppliers like convention centers, hotels, destination management organizations, agencies, tech providers, catering services, and so on. Those who are really involved in the operational execution of running a conference. And then we also invited those who belong to the demand side, those who organize that meeting, be it corporations, be it associations, and those institutions who use business events as one of the tools within their communication mix of organizations. So it's more or less the entire ecosystem of the business events sector.
Did having tools like this and information like this, did you feel it changed the image of GCB as sort of the brand holder of sustainability around in Germany? Did people start to see you all differently than they had before, before this sort of key movement around sustainability?
Yeah. I mean, that's not the reason why we started the initiative, but of course it helped to become more visible and to become an important player within the entire process, and especially the sustainable conference, which we initiated, that really helped us to be visible. And we did that not alone. We have a partner, which is the European Association of Events Centers, which started that initiative together with us from the very beginning. And I think it's always important to bring as many partners together as possible to speak with one voice and to build something up, not to build two competing programs, for example, within only one ecosystem. And this is why we are a big fan of the Joint Meetings Industry Council, which initiated last year the Net Zero Carbon Events Initiative, which is a global initiative. And therefore, from the very beginning, we thought that's the right way to go ahead. And therefore, from the very beginning, we signed the pledge and tried to support Joint Meetings Industry Council and the entire initiative to get carbon neutral, that the entire events industry can become carbon neutral by 2050.
I do want to talk about the net zero, and I wanted to point back, I mean, just the story that you're telling about really connecting the brand of sustainability and tying it back to GCB, that it seems synchronous, that it's one in the same, which I think is an incredible aspect to this, that you've found a pathway so that people see what you do and the work and all the incredible assets you have in producing a successful business event, a convention or trade show, and showing that it is a way to be sustainable. Between the past decade or so, have you seen, you know, only ups and downs? Just was sort of curious how the journey's been so far.
No, it's of course a journey full of ups and downs. We had many ups when we started new initiatives, new programs. Whenever we created the program for our conference, that was really something which went very, very well. Another program which went very, very well was the program which we set up with the support of the German Environmental Association, who helped us creating a program to train people to become sustainable event managers. Mm-hmm. So that's something which we initiated a few years ago. And since then up to today, I think we trained almost 1,000 people within Germany to become sustainable event managers. So that's quite a success story. But on the other hand, of course, there were a few downs when we started with parts of the initiative and it didn't fly as high as we wanted it to fly in the very beginning. Mm-hmm. So it was sometimes really hard to convince people to join certain initiatives like the sustainability codex. You really have to convince people. It's very complex in explaining it. People always think it's expensive and it's complex and I need someone to hire. to really run this program. But that's not the case. So that's a little bit the challenge we have with everything which has to do with sustainability. It seems to be quite complex. It seems to cost a lot of money. And not always and not immediately people really understand what the winning, what the quick win for them is when acting more sustainable. And that's a little bit the challenge we are having. And that's also one of the downs we had in the past. But on the other hand, and that's the latest figures, which I just can quote here, we do an annual analysis of the supply chain within Germany in order to better understand how sustainable are they, how do they act at the moment. And we saw that the reason for acting sustainable, that was one of the questions during the last research, and we asked them, what's the reason for acting sustainable? And 49.4% said that they act sustainable because it is part of their corporate philosophy. So every second is acting automatically, more or less, sustainable because it's part of the corporate philosophy. And 48.5% stated that they act sustainable because they have realized that society as a whole is responsible. So that's also something which is good to hear. And only 2.1% act sustainable because it's part of the guidelines of their corporation, for example. So that's good to hear.
I mean, it goes back to your point you're mentioning about people, the perception of being either expensive or I don't understand it or I have to hire someone. It goes back to one of the other points you mentioned earlier about constant communication. Like it will never end about communicating to your stakeholders. And I guess I do want to ask too, it's not just a warming climate we're battling against. The earth is complex. You know, we've also been facing the pandemic. I wanted to ask how, you know, the complexities around sustainability and the global pandemic. I sort of wanted to hear how does sustainability transition through or make its way through the pandemic and planning business events for the GCB?
I mean, everything is linked with everything, more or less, these days. And all the megatrends, you said it at the very beginning, they're all linked with each other. The megatrend of sustainable development has to do with the megatrend of health. The megatrend of transportation has to do with the megatrend of mobility. So it's all linked with each other. And what we learned during the pandemic in Germany and in the whole Europe is that it's, again, about communication. We have to communicate very clear and very transparent. That's why we set up a digital platform, which is about safe business trips and safe business events. So what is Germany? What is the German government and what are the German suppliers doing in order to guarantee a safe business event or a safe business trip? So it's, again, about communication. We need to involve all the partners. They have to show what they are doing. They have to show how they have prepared. And they have to communicate the programs which they have in place, all the hygiene and safety measurements programs. That's something we collected together with all our partners and display it and distribute it through that digital platform, for example.
So you mentioned a little bit earlier about the net zero carbon events initiative. Would you mind just talking a little bit about what that is for our listeners?
Yeah. I mean, back in 2021, during the United Nations Climate Change Conference, which took place in Glasgow in November last year, the Joint Meetings Industry Council came up with the idea and the initiative to bring together the entire business events industry on a global level, starting a dialogue about how and what do we have to do in order to meet the targets of the COP26 conference, which took place in Glasgow. And one of the targets, of course, is to get carbon neutral by 2050. And therefore, the initiative started a few programs. And one is that they want to develop common methodologies for measuring the industry's direct, but also indirect supply chain greenhouse gas emissions. That's not available for the moment. So we need that in order to create benchmarks and in order to agree on targets. And the second thing which they agreed on is to construct an industry-wide roadmap towards net zero by 2050. So we all need to have the same understanding of where we have to go, by when we have to achieve what, and by when we have to execute certain actions. And another very interesting topic was that they really want to foster collaboration with suppliers and customers to ensure alignment and common approaches, because there are so many initiatives around the globe, good mm-hmm. initiatives like ours, but it all needs to be synchronized with all the other initiatives in order to approach, to achieve those global targets, which have been signed during the COP26 conference in Glasgow last November. And that's why I think it's a brilliant initiative by our industry. It's open to everyone in the entire world who is involved in the business events industry, be it a DMC, be it a CVB, be it a visitors bureau, be it a hotel, a convention center, an exhibition center. So it's open for all of them, because only us all together can achieve what has been signed and what is necessary.
And to give just sort of how grandiose and how large and big this plan idea is, I mean, this is beyond, you know, just getting rid of plastic bottles, you know, for water at a conference. You're talking from how you even get and start from the conference, from when you leave your door to actually getting to a convention center. So you're addressing a lot of needs of accessibility, travel, transport from the last, you know, mile, last kilometer. You know, I think that's what's so incredible about this exercise, is actually trying to look at the full life cycle of a business event and the carbon footprint related to it.
Absolutely. It's a most holistic approach. And that's what needed in these days. But holistic approaches always need smaller initiatives who help to achieve the overall target. But that's the only way, I think, from my perspective, how we can get successful in this field, to start with the most holistic approach.
So I do want to ask, do you feel, I mean, you're talking about goals in the future, do you feel that being able to achieve a carbon neutral event, do you feel that it provides a competitive advantage for a destination to have their event there because we can produce it in a carbon neutral way? Do you feel, I mean, hopefully everyone does this, right? So it's equal footing, but do you feel people are going to try to race to get this? Do you feel like that will provide a competitive advantage for a bit to whoever tries to achieve or parts of it first?
We learned that from our research. Yes, it does create a competitive advantage for now. And mm-hmm. as you said, that the target for all of us, for our society, needs to be that this is not an advantage anymore, a competitive advantage anymore in the future, because it should become the new normal. It should become the new now, that events are sustainable per se, and not only that we don't differentiate between a sustainable and an so-called unsustainable event. I mean, the word itself tells you unsustainable, what that means at the very end of the day for the event. So the target needs to be, the target is that all events will be sustainable or carbon neutral in the future. And there are many ways to get there, and many different programs, many different methodologies. And that has not only to do with the events industry itself, it has to do with our entire societies, with the way we travel in the future, with the way we produce goods in the future, with the way, you know, bring people from A to B. So it's such a complex thing, and this is why we have to start now, and this is why it needs to be a global initiative.
What do you feel, from your perspective, you know, as in the landscape now in 2022, what do you feel will be some of the biggest challenges to achieve a net zero carbon event? I mean, is everyone riding scooters to the conference? I just want to hear your perspective. What do you think is the biggest challenge at hand to achieve this?
I mean, the biggest challenge is, first of all, to calculate it. So it needs mm-hmm. to be calculated, because if we don't calculate it, we cannot act. We need to calculate it in order to better understand what can we do in a different way, what can we do it better, where should we change our programs, where should we change our approach, and so on. So first of all, it all starts with a good analysis. So we need facts and figures. very German approach. We need, you know, evidence-based information, which is available and accessible for everyone within the business events industry, so that we all have a clear picture of what we are producing here for the moment. The second step is then, how can we reduce, how can we offset, how can we, you know, optimize the results and the carbon footprint. This is the second step. So I think the biggest challenge for the moment is to calculate it and to understand it and then have a good foundation for building the next program on it or the next step.
Matthias, you guys have been doing this for well over a decade. I wanted to ask you the question, if you had to start it over again, and I'm looking at a lot of our deserizations who are just trying to get started in this, what advice would you give, or what do you feel others could learn from you of how you would start this process?
I mean, it's a multi-stakeholder process, and that's what we need to understand before we start. There are so many people, institutions, organizations which need to be involved, so that it is important to set up a clear communication plan and a clear strategy and a clear process in the very beginning. This is something what those who are interested in it can learn from Joint Meetings Industry Council for the moment, because that's exactly what they are doing. Of course, this process takes longer than we hoped it will take, but that's needed. I think we need a profound foundation, a profound starting point in order to be successful in what we do. So I really would start with a clear stakeholder analysis in the very beginning, who should be involved, who needs to be involved, and then followed up with a concept and a communication plan. So this is something which I think you need in these days, to go to the different stakeholder groups, explain them why they be involved, how they can get involved. So that's needed in a more and more complex world from my perspective.
Wonderful. Matthias, I appreciate so much of everything you've shared, the starting point and the journey here. I'd love to do a little bit of future forecasting. So in another decade, in 10 years, how would you define success in 2032 for the GCB and sustainability? And I'll say the greater business events community, but just related to the German Convention and Visitors Bureau, what do you see success in 10 years around this?
I mean, we will have not only quantitative growth, but also qualitative growth in the future. I think this is what we will see. So it's all about content, and it's all about helping to solve the problems of today and of tomorrow. That's what business events are made for, helping to find solutions. And I think as of now, in 10 years, business events will be an important tool within the communication mix of organizations and corporations in order to fix problems, in order to solve problems, in order to find solutions in a very innovative, co-creative, and collaborative approach, because this is what is needed in the future: open innovation, bringing people from different sectors, from different backgrounds together in order to solve complex problems, and business events can help to be the starting point for these initiatives.
I think that's a wonderful end cap. We will put extensive notes and everything in the podcast recording, but I did want to ask Matthias, where can people find more about yourself, the work you do, the work of the GCB? Where can they start?
Well, we are always accessible at LinkedIn. I'm more than happy to get connected with those who want to learn more about what the German Convention Bureau is doing. We have our website, which is our main content hub. It's www.germany/travel.de. And for those who want to get to our German website, is www.gcb.de. And I'm more than happy to get connected with everyone.
Wonderful. Well, Matthias, danke schön für alles.
Danke schön, Andreas. It was a pleasure.
So thank you again for joining myself, Andreas Weisenborn, and Matthias Schrotze on this month's episode of the Architects of Destination Advocacy. Please make sure to subscribe within your podcast listening service to always catch the latest episode. To learn more about the work we do, please make sure to subscribe to our newsletter at destinationsinternational.org, or check out our content through the advocacy section at the website, or speaking at one of our upcoming events. Thank you, and we'll talk soon.